Welcome to Right Spokane Perspective with your host, Tim.
And Shannon.
It's opinion, fact, information, and your alert system. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. And welcome back to Let's Be More Informed, this Monday episode here on Right Spokane Perspective. Yes, we want our listeners to be informed, and that's why we do so many candidate interviews. There's going to be lots more coming. Filing week is coming up here. I think it's the second week of May, where all your candidates are going to have to sign on the line and pay the fee to be on the ballot in the August primary. We have lots of seats that are going to be open statewide races, legislative races. So we are a listener-supported program, so keep us on the air. Go to rightspokaneperspective.com. You can donate there or use our address at P.O. Box 7620-99207. We have another candidate in today in Dale Whitaker. He is running for the Secretary of State position. We're going to talk about what that position does and what his hopes are once he's elected, if elected, in just a moment after inspiration.
Our inspiration today is called and equipped by God. Your job for the International Book Expo, my boss informed me, is to organize an on-site radio broadcast. I felt fear because this was new territory for me. God, I have never done anything like this, I prayed. Please help me. God provided resources and people to guide me, experienced technicians and broadcasters, plus reminders during the expo of details I'd overlooked. In retrospect, I know that the broadcast went well because he knew what was needed and prompted me to use the skills he'd already given me. When God calls us to a task, he also equips us for it. When he assigned Bezalel to work on the tabernacle, Bezalel was already a skilled craftsman. God further equipped him by filling him with his spirit and with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills. God also gave him an assistant, Oliab, as well as a skilled workforce. With his enablement, the team designed and made the tent, its furnishings, and the priest's garments. These were instrumental in the Israelites' proper worship of God. Bezalel means in the shadow or the protection of God. The craftsmen worked on the projects of a lifetime under God's protection, power, and provision. Let's courageously obey his prompting as we carry out a task to completion. He knows what we need and how and when to give it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself to our Washington candidates running for office. Lord, we pray that you would equip them with all that they need this election season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, like in the inspiration, we have a task ahead of us, and it's a task not just for political candidates, because we don't really elect rulers. I mean, I kind of think we have too often elected rulers, and what we need to do is elect representatives, people that are going to do the task of having an accountable government to the voters, to the citizens. And we're in a place where our government is spending itself into bankruptcy, where we have political entities in our state that don't seem concerned with the future for our children and our grandchildren. And so we have a serious task ahead of us, and it is picking the candidates that are going to be moving on to the general election this November. And I think it's crucial that we have more people involved in the primary elections. I know it's during the summer and everyone's thinking about their favorite places to go and the kids are out of school and people are busy, but we've got to get people to turn out for the August primary this year and make sure we get good candidates over the finish line of that primary ballot. And we have one of those candidates with us today in Dale Whitaker, running for Secretary of State here in Washington State. Welcome to the show, Dale.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, you guys, for having me.
Yeah, so just to start out with, just tell the listeners, you know, who is Dale Whitaker? What have you done with your life and leading up to being a candidate?
Yeah, so I actually emigrated from the United Kingdom to the United States in 2008. I became a citizen in 2015. I voted in every single election bar one primary when my wife and I were back in the UK visiting family. I think it's the most fundamental thing we can do, and it's our civic duty to vote. It costs us nothing but a little bit of time, and I think that at the bare minimum, that's one thing that every voter should be engaged in, is at least casting their vote.
Yeah, and it's pretty amazing. You came to the country in 2008, and you've voted in every election except for that one primary you mentioned. And we have so many political candidates that run for office who most of their lives have not voted, even though they were born in the United States.
Right. Well, I mean, when I became a U.S. citizen, I mean, I went through, there was a course, like, you know, it's not a very comprehensive course. It should be a little bit better, I think. But I did go through a course and, you know, you have to learn the pledge and so on. But for me, I wanted to take my civic duty seriously. You know, I have been fortunate enough to live the American dream, worked hard and been successful in the private sector. But for me, I think that civic engagement is decreasing, voter apathy is increasing, turnouts are decreasing, and we have to reinstill a faith in our electorate that our system isn't broken. We need them to know that when they show up to the ballot box, that they can count on their voice being heard.
That their vote is actually counted properly. Yeah, and I think that looking at this voter turnout issue, we were always told, you know, even when I was a kid, basically, oh, this mail-in ballot system. And I think I got to vote in person like a couple of times before we were all mail-in ballot here in Washington State. Of course, that was before you immigrated here and moved to Washington. But it's just crazy to me that the sales pitch of, oh, we're going to have much higher voter turnout, and actually voter turnout, I think, has gone down since that time. And of course, people don't have a lot of faith in the election systems, the way that we've seen so much fraud and other things. So, you know, going back to your background just a little bit, you moved from the UK, you got married in the United States?
Correct.
Yep. And so married, any children?
I have two stepkids and a grandkid.
Okay, all right. So you're looking out for a couple generations now. You got two generations following you that will be, you know, left with the results of the elections and what we've done here in the United States and in Washington State. So what's your professional background, you know, kinds of work you've done since immigrating to the United States?
Yeah, so I'm an accountant. I have a small tax practice here in Spokane. And for me, that experience is going to be pivotal. And I've been in executive positions in accounting since, man, I was 24, so a good decade now. And I also have a proven track record of being transparent and ethical in the private sector. I found that an organization and a company that I worked for in 2017 were defrauding customers of millions of dollars. I subsequently filed complaints with the Securities Exchange Commission and the Commodities Futures Trade Commission. So I'm not someone who's shy about taking personal sacrifice in order to do the right thing.
Well, then as an accountant, that's kind of the role of an accountant. If somebody, you know, you go to school, you get prepared, you're filling out these filings, and you, as an accountant, you're signing your name to these documents that the monies are accounted for, that the accounts balance, that there isn't, you know, embezzlement, that there isn't, you know, fraud, that the company's not being ripped off, that the company's not ripping people off. So I think a role of an accountant really is, you know, in the auditing process of even just doing the bookkeeping, there has to be integrity there, or a person doesn't stay in that role very long. I think that's a profession that boots people out if they're not doing the math properly or if they're corrupt.
Yeah, checks and balances is fundamental to everything we do in accounting. And it should be fundamental to everything that we do in the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah, numbers don't identify as other numbers.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So I think accounting's kind of stuck with the, it's a global language. You know, everybody knows what 1 + 1 is, and it can't be anything else. So going from, you know, some simple math to more complicated math, we're looking at, you know, a position at the Secretary of State. So moving from an accounting role and looking at the Secretary of State, tell us what kind of that transition from, I'm an accountant, but I want to do some accounting for the voters.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's imperative that we ensure that the electorate, when they show up to vote, the voice will be heard. In order to do that, we have to reinstill faith in this system. And the way that we do that is we ensure that every single voter on that voter roll is an eligible voter. That's first and foremost, and that's tantamount to everything else that happens at the Secretary of State's office. If we can get that right, and we can ensure the voter base and the electorate that, hey, there's no one on here that ought not be voting, I think that we will see voter apathy decrease. People will be more willing to show up and vote. They will have a fundamental understanding like, hey, my voice is being heard when I go cast this ballot.
Yeah, and I think Washington State's kind of an interesting place because we were kind of an early adopter of the mail-in ballot system that we saw, you know, through the pandemic, that, you know, countrywide, there's been a lot of controversy. And of course, you know, this isn't really political. I think that, you know, it's 1 + 1 = 2. It's not really political. It can't identify something else. But we've seen both political parties claim that the election system was fraught with fraud. I mean, we saw, you know, Obama say that, oh, you know, mail-in ballot system is wrought with fraud. It's not a good system. But we've also seen, you know, the Republican side saying these elections are stolen. You know, Hillary Clinton said the election was stolen. So having those claims out there, politicians can open their mouth and most people are going to think they're lying. But what they say matters in the fact that a lot of people now don't have trust in the mail-in ballot system. And in Washington, we saw also a Bernie Sanders candidate that looked like he was going to win in Washington, and I think he did. But then when it came time to wash it out, he was kind of booted off the ballot is kind of what it seemed like. So having an election system that is accountable and you can, you know, do an audit like you do with accounting and say, well, this vote counted here and this vote went for that candidate and this vote went on this issue, I think is really important. And as a candidate myself, I've been a candidate a number of times and I've been in the elections office and I've looked at this election system and I'm thinking, I have no idea what they're doing and how a person could even audit this system.
Yeah, and your sentiment is resonating across the state. I've made over 150 phone calls in the last week, and the sentiment seems to be the same no matter what side of the aisle that you're on. People have questions, and the ambiguity of the system and being told that you can't get too close to people tallying the votes and so on is leaving a lot of doubt in people's minds. So the danger really is even in the process itself, because when people have questions that aren't being answered and you're kind of being gatekept from the answers, that puts so much doubt in people's minds, whether it's right or wrong. Just the doubt being there is a dangerous place to be as an electorate. And we need to stifle that doubt.
Well, it's kind of like you take your taxes to an accountant. That's your professional role. When I take my, I'm looking at my taxes. I'm looking at how much I paid in. I'm looking at my my pay stubs. And I'm thinking, you know, inflation, it's kind of hard to afford, you know, to live here. And, you know, I need my accountant to make sure that I can not overpay my taxes. Like, mm-hmm. There's some people that have enough money. They're just like, I don't care if you have to overpay the taxes. Just make sure that I don't have any problems on my taxes. I don't care mm-hmm. if you overpay. No, you want your accountant to be like, okay, the federal government says I owe them this. That's all I pay. Not more, not less. And so that counting has to be solid. And when we look at elections, you know, you get these things in the mail from the elections office and it says, well, we didn't recognize your signature. It was kind of funny because I was actually on the ballot and that happened to me 3 times where I had to make sure that I went into the elections office, did another signature card and blah, blah, blah. But then what did they do with my ballot? Was my ballot still in the mix of ballots that got counted? How do they do that once they take the ballot away from the envelope? So I was really confused even as a candidate. I'm like, did my vote even count in the election that I was in, you know, and on the ballot? So these things are going to have to be answered. I think there's a lot of doubt out there. And the only way to make sure that we have systems that the people can trust is if 1 + 1 = 2, and there's no equations in between that math problem. Dale Whitaker, he's candidate for Secretary of State. If you want to check into him a little bit more, it's whitakerforwa.com. That's WHITAKERFORWA, WhitakerForWA.com. Check out these candidates carefully. Share these podcasts with friends, family, neighbors, congregation members. We got to get people more engaged with the electoral process, with our elections. Man, we got to make sure the math is right this Monday. And we have a candidate in with us today that wants to do just that in the Secretary of State's office. And, you know, obviously this conversation that we went off into the break about election security and faith in the election process. I think election security is the big piece that we don't feel as citizens is there. We know that if people look at elections really carefully, you can see that there are nursing homes and dementia wards that are voting in higher propensity than the surrounding population. That's a concern because I don't know that dementia wards and people in nursing homes really are concerned a whole lot with elections, at least not to the fact that they would be voting at higher propensity than the surrounding citizenry. And so obviously the elections are somewhat manipulated by this ballot harvesting that goes on, which is legal in Washington State. But what can we do to make sure that people aren't being coerced with this mail-in ballot system, or that the system itself is secure? Because election security is something that I think every citizen, regardless of political party or no party affiliation, should be concerned with. So, Dale, jump back into this conversation. Again, we're here with Dale Whitaker. That's whitakerforwa.com. Elections are a key thing Secretary of State does that most people are going to look at. This is who we're electing and why. So tell us more about the elections process and the security that you're concerned with and what you would do.
So some of the issues that you've outlined are definitely concerns. I think that it's important that we have chain of custody. How do we know who's helping people if there are sections of dementia wards that are voting? Well, who's assisting them to vote, right? So we need to have chain of custody. There needs to be checks and balances in place so that we know that those are legitimate votes.
Well, and I'm not trying to disparage you know, the rights of citizens to vote at all by my statements, because, I mean, if we talk about dementia wards, I mean, it's like Congress, right? No, joking aside. But we have to look at these systems and say, well, how can we have better security? Like me getting these, you know, things in the mail where I have to, I'm a candidate. I've lived in the same city my whole life, and I have to go in for my ballot to count, and then I hope it counts. Why should there be that confusion for citizens?
There shouldn't be. And I think the issue with the, there's a lot of issues with the mail-in ballot system. It's why a lot of nations have actually rescinded it, France being one of the bigger ones that went from mail-in ballots to going back to in-person same-day voting, which is something I'm definitely in favor of.
I actually saw a laundry list of governments that they either got rid of the mail-in ballot system altogether, which is the same corporations that run our elections, because it's, obviously, these computer systems don't belong to the state. They weren't created by the state. They're just using private contractors to, you know, use their software and their machines. But some of the states and countries said, okay, well, we're going to do this, you know, hybrid where, you know, people that it's hard for them to get, you know, they live very, very rurally or whatever criteria they came up with. They went with a mixed system, didn't get rid of mail-in voting completely, but in large part they did. Lots of countries.
I think that a lot of people would be in favor of in-person voting, and I think that absolutely we should have absentee ballots and mail-in voting for specific groups of people. You know, if you're disabled and it's hard for you to get out, obviously we don't want to restrict your accessibility to vote. Same with military personnel overseas. You know, they have to keep their right to vote, and they ought to be able to vote. They're out there representing us as a nation. We don't want to stifle their vote.
Well, so, we also have military contractors that, you know, the military doesn't do certain logistical things, so they hire a company to do it, and an individual that's working for the company assisting the military should also have that ability to vote through
mail-in system. Yeah, so I think that there's a lot of things that we could do. There's a lot of concerns too. You know, Click Attack County, when they mail their ballots, they get shipped to Portland, Oregon for sorting, and then they come back into the state. I mean, there's no chain of custody there. That's a huge issue. That is a big concern.
So you have ballots that, so there's a possibility that individuals from Clititas County that are voting there, not only could that ballot be forwarded to a foreign country that they might be serving in if they're military, or if they're a military contractor, or if they're out of overseas business or something. So it could go to Clititas County, then it could possibly go overseas, come back to Clititas County, go to Portland, and then, well, and who knows where it's going to go. I mean, that's not a good security measure, I don't feel, that, you know, these ballots are being moved across state lines. They're in the hands of numerous entities that are not necessarily government employees, because the Postal Service also contracts with private corporations.
Yep, and that's happening more and more, too. I mean, I don't think I've had a stable mail person since the end of COVID.
Well, there's a shortage in the post office, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, you know, I've never, ever since I started voting in 2015, when I wasn't as heavily involved and I did still vote, I just never trusted the mail system to take my ballot for me. I don't know the intent of that person. I don't know what they believe, what they don't believe. So for me, it was always the safest bet to just go drop it off at the local ballot box. And I think everyone should consider doing that.
I've done that too. So and actually now we don't just go do a drop box, because I learned in Spokane County that they also use temporary hired through subcontractors, right? They hire people temporarily to drive these box trucks or vans around to pick up the ballots, mm-hmm. and they don't always do their job right, so you don't have chain of custody at the drop boxes even. So we actually take our ballots directly down to the elections office because I'm like, this is crazy, you know? I mean, so we got these contractors of the postal office, the post office, ballots leaving the state to going to processing centers out of state. Then they maybe end up at the elections office, or maybe they go a couple more places after that. So it's
or like, they don't show up at all because they get a lot. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten my neighbor's mail in the past year and a half, right? I mean, I think more and more people I talk about, it's almost like it's an epidemic. Everyone's getting everyone else's mail.
Another thing I ran into as a candidate too, and this is a number of years ago, but as a candidate talking to people, they're like, oh, well, I didn't see you on my ballot, so I didn't vote for you, but my husband said he voted for you. I'm like, I wasn't on your ballot. Well, that was because they had gotten married, but for 6 years, they didn't involve each other in their voting. So she was actually still voting on a ballot from outside the district.
Yeah.
So with the mail-in voting, you could be voting on a ballot that, because there was a clerical error in the auditor's mm-hmm. office, you're not actually voting for the people in your district because you're still voting for the people in the district you were in 5 years ago.
Right. And this is an issue too. I'm in favor of updating your voter record as frequently as possible. If you're, if you've moved and so on, I think obviously there's a responsibility from the individual who is engaging in this process that if you move house, you have to make sure that it's done correctly. But I've also heard that people who have,
because they're still getting the ballot in that district.
Yeah.
But the ballot itself.
It's because their registered address is different to their mailing address.
Yeah.
And that's an issue.
This makes this confusing for voters that move. And we see, obviously, a more transient population. We have a lot more people living in apartments that you can move across the street. You're in a different district.
Yeah.
You can move across town. You're in a different voting district when you're talking about, key positions in local elections.
Right. And I think that it's important that the Secretary of State ensures that the registered address is the actual address that the person is eligible to vote in that district.
Well, because we have people that move out of country that are maybe that have dual citizenship, or maybe they don't, and they're no longer a resident really in the United States, but they were at one time. So they're getting mail that gets forwarded out of country, and they're still voting in elections. I saw, actually, you know this individual, I won't say the name, but a former Spokane County GOP chair who got an election ballot from Spokane County after leaving the state and registering to vote in another state.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there are, well, the international issue is, I think, a little bit more concerning. I mean, they're both very concerning, but the international issue is a lot more concerning. I think that, again, this comes down to us stewarding our individual civic duty. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would, as an individual, feel comfortable moving back to the UK, for example, and still having a say in the elections in a county in a state that I'm not participating in. Mm-hmm. But there are people who will still try to leverage their vote even though they're not living here.
Vote in multiple states. I mean, now we've got these laws with same day voting. You could be an Oregon resident or Idaho resident. You live there, you vote there, but you walk across the state line, go to an auditor's office in Washington State, is currently the law. You can vote in our elections and not even prove residency, really. I mean, you can just say, well, I'm here now.
Yeah, there absolutely has to be residency requirements. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. For me, when I first came to the United States and I got my driver's license, I had to add my name to a utility bill and prove that I was a resident of the state of Washington before I could get my driver's license. That the same should hold true for elections.
Yeah. I think so. So obviously I've thrown a lot of things at you about little different election issues, and we've got just a little over 3.5 minutes left, and I want to make sure you have time so the listeners can hear, what are you going to do as Secretary of State? Because we can talk about the issues, but as Secretary of State, you have to work with the legislature. You have to work through these issues with departmental policy when you're talking about, like you brought up, the custody of the ballots, right? Chain of custody. When you're talking about, the budget of the Secretary of State, they said, oh, well, it's going to be great. Well, we're sending multiple envelopes and with a ballot on the inside to millions of people in Washington State. And the you know, primary elections, typically, especially off year. This year we got a governor, it's a little different, but oftentimes in the primary election, 30% turn out to vote. So we waste 70% of millions of ballots, basically. So
yeah. So so to answer your first question, what am I going to do? Well, my promise to the people of the state of Washington is this: I'm going to be the most transparent Secretary of State that we've ever had in the state of Washington. I'm going to do what I can that is within my power to secure the elections, make sure they're accessible, safe, transparent, and secure for the people of this state. And I'm going to do whatever I can within my department to ensure that happens. Anything that has to have an act of the legislature to pass, I'm going to put pressure on the legislature to do so that we can fix these issues. And then also, I'm going to ensure that everyone, the electorate, know exactly what the issues are. Because my job is to represent everyone in the state of Washington, no matter where you align politically. My job is to make sure that when you show up to vote, that you feel like your voice is being heard. So for me, that is the most fundamental thing that we can do is be transparent and ensure that the system itself is safe and secure so that when people show up, they can have faith that the system is working as intended.
I think that that's really important. Going back to your comment about Clititas County and their mail being shipped over to Portland, I think that citizens realizing that it's not just their ballot, but you know, their bills, the things that they did. Really, why is the mail leaving Clititas County going to Portland then to come back into Washington? You know, obvious, is that going to happen if they mail something to their neighbor? I mean, if the mail system's set up that way, chain of custody for things, even beyond just our ballots, I think is important. And citizens that have government entities handling things that are fundamental with our property rights and our right to vote, I think it's important that those processes and procedures be in place to where we can be secure that, you know, our mail, for one, we're not going to have our ballot stolen from some activist in a processing center in Portland, but also that our bills, that our check numbers, that the things that we send out in the mail can't be compromised by somebody that's outside of our jurisdictional powers. Because what if stuff happens in Portland with our mailed, our ballots, our bills? That's a jurisdictional issue that I think is hard to tackle. So you're looking at creating policies and procedures to make clarity for the voters that we know that this ballot's going from here to here to here. Yep. You have chain of custody.
Proper chain of custody. And I think that it's even more important that when you have party declarations on the outside of an envelope with your address right next to it, it lends even more to the issue that there are political activists out there that will see that in the sorting facilities and can do things that we have no idea.
That inflamed a lot of people that I talked to, the presidential primary where you had to declare a party. And not only that,
and that, in, that
your signature's on the outside too.
It should be protected on the inside of that envelope just as carefully as your vote is.
The Washington State Constitution states that all votes must be held in private. If my party declaration is on the outside of the ballot right next to my address, that is not a private vote.
That is not a private vote.
Yeah, I think there was definitely a lapse in, I think, constitutionality, but also just, do they really, at this point in time, the Secretary of State, the people in our state government, do they really respect the voters? I think that that was basically spitting in the voters' face of, you know what, you don't really have a secure ballot. You don't have a secret ballot. And that's the interesting thing, too, about secret ballots is that basically the algorithms in your cell phone know who you're going to vote for almost beyond a shadow of a doubt. Mm-hmm. And so the secret ballot at this point in time, because it's just in the mail, because they have our signature on the outside and our phone number and our name and address, I don't think our government respects us or the election system itself. I mean, isn't that self-deprecating? We are going to keep the election secure, but tell us who you're voting for on the outside. Yep. And sign it there with your address. It's absurd. So, well, I want to appreciate you for coming into the studio with us today and wish you all the best of luck. Again, that's Dale Whitaker, candidate for Secretary of State, whitakerforwa.com. That's WHITAKERFOR, Washington, WA. So whitakerforwa.com. We'll be with you folks again tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Wright Spokane Perspective. We are sponsored by Wright Spokane Perspective LLC and made possible by advertisers you hear and contributions from listeners like you.